You are Locked On Ravens, your daily Baltimore Ravens podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
And we are back with another episode of Locked On Ravens. I am your host, Kevin Ostreicher of Ravens Wire, and we return here. It is Purple Friday here on Locked On Ravens. Unfortunately, no Matthew Stevens to talk Ravens football with us today. With it being the end of the season, people are just busy and they have stuff to do, so I completely understand. You know, Cole's busy and Matthew's busy, so we'll get them back on the show, but end of season time, even though there's no more football, it's still very hectic for people in the media, so I completely understand that, you know, there's a busy time around NFL media, Ravens media, so we'll get those guys back as soon as possible. But that does not mean that I am not here today talking with you, because I am. And we are going to have a day of more coach talk today, and it's going to be three segments, a full coach episode today. We're going to talk about each coach in a segment. We're going to talk about John Harbaugh in the first segment, Greg Roman in the second segment, and Don Martindale in the third segment. But it's not going to be a coaching review. That's not really what I'm going for. We're going to talk about John Harbaugh's end-of-season press conference from 2 days ago on Wednesday, and we're going to get into the remainder of things that I did not touch on in yesterday's show, because, again, he had some nice things to say about the offseason, needs for the team, where he thinks the team is going in the direction, and stuff with the offseason, so it's really important to get into that, so we'll talk about that in this first segment here. In the second segment, I do want to touch on the subject, because it is a very big subject within the Ravens Nation right now, and that is, what should the Ravens do with Greg Roman? It's such an interesting point, an interesting topic. I mean, it's so difficult because there are multiple arguments for both sides. So I want to give my stance on it, where I think the Ravens should go and what they should do and stuff along those lines. And then in the final segment, we'll talk about Don Martindale and just how his defense performed, talk about maybe why he hasn't gotten consideration for a head coaching job, which in my opinion is a little ridiculous, and more. So with all that being said, we're going to jump right in here. But before we do that, be sure to follow us on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, anywhere there is a podcast where they're waiting Monday through Friday, 6 a.m. Eastern Time. Also, be sure to follow us on Twitter at LockedOnRavens and my personal account at ChaosTracker34 for any Ravens news, analysis, updates, and more. So with all that being said, we're going to jump right in here, starting with the remainder of John Harbaugh's end-of-season press conference that he held on Wednesday. And we'll pick up right where we left off, and we'll talk a bit about the Ravens and their offseason, because for the Ravens, their offseason has already begun. And we'll first start off with John Harbaugh talking about, I think, something that's been on a lot of people's minds for this Baltimore team, a receiver, adding that true number one target for Lamar Jackson. And John Harbaugh, when addressing him adding a top target to the team, adding a top target, said, quote, "It depends on who you're going to get and what the cost and whether he wants to be here. I think a big physical receiver would be awesome for us. We can use anybody who was talented and good," end quote. And so, yeah, I mean, look, any team can use somebody who's talented and good at any position. But for the Ravens, they definitely do need that big X receiver. And I think a big time target, a target that's, you know, the Ravens have tried a bunch of different things in terms of getting their receiver rooms right. They've tried drafting guys in the first round. They've tried signing veterans for, you know, veteran minimums and little, you know, 3-year, $27 million deals and whatnot. The Ravens have never really gone after that really solid number one, top 10, top 15 receiver. You know, you can argue guys like Derek Mason, guys like Anquan Boldin were those type of guys for the Ravens, but they were never top 15 receivers throughout their entire careers. Now, they certainly were invaluable to this Baltimore Ravens team, but, you know, over the course of the last couple of offseasons, we've heard Eric DaCosta be in rumors for DeAndre Hopkins and be in rumors to move up to take a stud wide receiver in the first round. But the Ravens have tried the first round receiver thing and it hasn't worked. The Ravens have tried to sign the cheapish veterans, and for the most part, it's kind of worked, but you haven't had that long-term success. For example, a more recent example, Steve Smith Sr. Phenomenal addition, but he was only in Baltimore for a few years. It's not like he was a mainstay in the Baltimore offense, so that Joe Flacco at the time didn't get that consistency with him. It was only for a couple of seasons. So the Ravens, they've never really gone after that big contract number one guy. And I think John Harbaugh's right. It does depend on who they're going to get and what that cost is and if that guy wants to be there. Because in Baltimore, let's just face it, it's not a very attractive destination for wide receivers as it is right now, just because of the fact of the matter that the Ravens' offense is not a pass-friendly offense at this point in time. You know, the Ravens' number one rush offense, number 32 pass offense. Those are the stats. Those are the numbers. And receivers seeing that, receivers who want those targets, who want 100-plus targets, 1,000-plus yards, 10-plus touchdowns, Baltimore is not going to be very high on their list. Now, in turn, guys who don't really care about those stats, maybe care a little bit more about winning, those are the guys that Baltimore wants anyway. They don't want somebody who's going to be selfish and whatnot. They want somebody who's going to come in and play for the team. And I think that's a really important point. So when talking about Allen Robinson and Chris Godwin and Kenny Golladay, those are guys who are going to command quite a bit of money. Even Corey Davis or Juju Smith-Schuster, those are all guys who are going to command big, big money. So maybe the Ravens looking at a T.Y. Hilton, looking at A.J. Green. Those are the types of guys they need to look at in terms of the fact that they probably want to win more than they care about those yards and touchdowns and receptions. John Harbaugh also said that he's not a college coach and he's not going to beg or recruit players to come and play in Baltimore. He said if the player wants to win and play for a great organization, they'd love to have that player. He's not concerned if guys who are focused on stats don't want to come. And yeah, this is exactly what I just talked about. The Ravens don't really want those guys who are going to come in and beg for targets and, you know, maybe get a little upset about not getting receptions and yards, but they would gladly have somebody who is for the team. For example, you know, Willie Snead comes in here. He's for the team. He buys into the Baltimore culture immediately. Dez Bryant comes into Baltimore. And, you know, I'm sure he was a little upset, Dez Bryant was, about not getting the targets and the receptions and whatnot. But he came in and bought into the Baltimore culture. Didn't really whine about it while he was still in season. And I think that's a really big thing for guys like Willie Snead and Dez Bryant to do. Even guys like Marquise Brown, you know, who did complain about not getting used. I think he's bought into it too. So the Ravens need those types of guys. And John Harbaugh's not going to beg. And honestly, he shouldn't have to. You know, he doesn't want those guys on the team. It wouldn't be good for the culture anyway. So I completely agree with him here. When addressing Mark Ingram, John Harbaugh said he just brought so much life. And he also guaranteed that he'll be playing somewhere next year. Yeah, for the Ravens, the Mark Ingram train just did not work out in his final season in Baltimore. He lost favor on the field, but off the field, I mean, seriously, what a guy. What a guy Mark Ingram is and was for this Baltimore Ravens team. He's somebody who accepted his role selflessly. He was someone who was literally for the team, the type of guy that Baltimore wants, the embodiment of a Baltimore Raven. I mean, the guy who came in 2019, scored 15 total touchdowns. It's not like he was terrible throughout his time in Baltimore. He had a really great first season. But, you know, age catching up, maybe a bit of an injury from last season still haunting him. It just was not his time. So the Ravens let him go. They save $5 million. But the Ravens will certainly miss his veteran leadership and the life he brought. And for Ingram, I do guarantee he'll play somewhere next year as well. I'll stand by John Harbaugh on that. It'll be interesting to see where he ends up picking. But I'll be very interested to see that destination. John Harbaugh on Steve Saunders said, quote, "We all had issues, players and coaches and staff with the protocols at times. He came back, he apologized to numerous players, apologized to coaches. He felt really bad about it," end quote. This is something I can't agree with for John Harbaugh. This is the one thing during his press conference that I think really annoyed me the most out of everything. And, you know, John Harbaugh, I like John Harbaugh as a coach, but I think that he's somebody who just should not have taken this stance. I think the Ravens organization should not have taken this stance. I mean, let's be clear about this. Steve Saunders endangered the lives of many of the Ravens players, many of the Ravens coaches, the Ravens organization. That's something that is a fireable offense. So, you know, I'll keep this one short because honestly, I'm very in the disagree area with this. But John Harbaugh, the Ravens organization should have fired Steve Saunders. I don't care how good of a coach he is, how well he's liked in the locker room. Look, if a player did what Steve Saunders did, he would have been suspended. The team might have cut him. There are a bunch of different consequences, so I do not support this stance that John Harbaugh put out here about Steve Saunders. Saunders should not have a job in the NFL right now. When addressing Yannick Ngakoue, John Harbaugh said that he loves Ngakoue and said that you can't really judge his potential based off of what they saw down the stretch. Quote, "I have nothing but love and respect for Yan and the type of player and person he is." And he admitted the Ravens are in a unique situation with their top five edge guys hitting free agency. And yeah, this was a pretty unique situation for John Harbaugh and this Ravens team. It is for John Harbaugh and this team, the Ravens with those five edge guys. But I think Yannick Ngakoue is the one they prioritize, someone who came into Baltimore, put up some solid but not spectacular production. I know that the box score stats don't really tell the whole story. with Ngakoue, but I do think he is a valuable piece for this Ravens team. He's somebody who showed time in and time out that he could get pressure. And yeah, sure, pressure isn't getting the quarterback down. I agree. There has to be a little bit more in the sack department. But Don Martindale's scheme, which we'll talk about in the third segment, sometimes doesn't allow for that. It just seems like guys come into Baltimore and just can't get sacks consistently in that scheme and get pressure consistently. But with Ngakoue, I think he, again, has bought into the Baltimore culture, someone who is willing to be in Baltimore and loves the whole mentality that this Ravens team has. So I would be happy to see Ngakoue back in Baltimore, albeit on the right contract. I don't want Baltimore to overpay for him, but I think he is a big, important part of the team. Harbaugh also said that he's hopeful that guys like Nick Boyle, Tavon Young, and Ronnie Stanley are ready for training camp. And I think that these guys will all be ready. Harbaugh seemed very optimistic in getting those three back in particular in Young, Stanley, and Boyle. I mean, what a trio that is. Three key pieces lost pretty early in the 2020 season. Some really early, some just midway through. But still, Baltimore could have used them. So to hear that they're doing well in their recovery, that was a very encouraging thing to hear. When talking about Matthew Judon, John Harbaugh made it clear that he wants him back. He said, quote, "We were right and the league was wrong on that one. We didn't miss on him," end quote. And unfortunately, again, I'll keep this one short. I don't think that Matthew Judon is coming back. I've talked about this before. The Ravens, I don't think, want to pay him the money he wants. Some team will pay Matthew Judon. It will not be Baltimore, I don't think. And Matthew Judon deserves a big payday. You know, I'm not saying he's a bad player. He was very valuable in multiple facets of football for the Baltimore Ravens. But again, with so many edge guys hitting free agency, with the Ravens not having a ton of cap room because of COVID this offseason, I just don't think it makes sense for Baltimore to bring Judon back at the price he's most likely going to want and will most likely get from a different team. Finally, John Harbaugh said that solidifying the offensive line is a major priority for this team. He ultimately called it priority one. And I mean, I agree. I mean, the wide receiver position and the offensive line are the two biggest needs for this team. They have to get their offense right. They have to be able to surround Lamar Jackson with the tools to be successful. And part of that is making sure he doesn't have pressure in his face every three plays like we saw against the Buffalo Bills in the divisional round. That's just not acceptable. Baltimore will certainly draft a center in the first two rounds of the draft. I'd have to imagine they'll look for some guard depth, some backup tackle depth. Getting Ronnie Stanley back is an addition in itself, and so is getting Nick Boyle back, but this team does need offensive line depth, and offensive line is the number one need for this team. We're going to head into our first break now, but when we return, we'll talk about what the Baltimore Ravens should do with Greg Roman heading into this offseason, so stay tuned for that, and we'll be right back. This episode is brought to you by 1010. 1010 is an exclusive collection of 10 one-of-a-kind engagement rings designed by 10 of the most distinctive designers working today. Using only diamonds responsibly and sustainably sourced from Botswana, 10 design masters have each produced a uniquely beautiful diamond ring, launching exclusively on January 18th at BlueNile.com. This exciting limited edition collection of diamond engagement rings launches on January 18th, and you can preview it exclusively at BlueNile.com. Built Bar is the best tasting protein bar ever. The improved Built Bar is even more delicious with 6 new flavors including caramel brownie, lemon almond cheesecake, carrot cake, and apple almond crisp. Built Bars are healthy. They're great for the health conscious person. You can lose or maintain weight while indulging in a delicious treat. Bars are low calorie, low sugar, high protein, and high fiber. So be sure to go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code LOCKEDON and you'll get 20% off of your next order. Use promo code LOCKEDON for 20% off at BuiltBar.com. And we return here with our second segment of this Purple Friday edition of Locked On Ravens. Your host, Kevin Ostreicher, still hanging out with you here. And we just talked about the remainder of John Harbaugh's end of season press conference that he had on Wednesday. But now let's get into the next coach on our docket, and that is Greg Roman. And Roman right now is quite possibly the hottest topic surrounding the Baltimore Ravens. Should he stay? Should he go? What should Baltimore do with him? Well, we'll answer that all right here. And look, my personal opinion is the offense needs to get better. And saying that to an offense that is ranked number one in rushing 2 years in a row, that's kind of crazy. But at the same time, you can't win football games by rushing the football 85,000 times a game. You just can't do it. The reason being is because if your pass offense is not good enough to help your run offense, you're not winning games. Teams will stack the box. Teams will cage in your runners, and you won't be able to throw the football because the pass offense just isn't there. The offense has to get better. Part of that is on Greg Roman, and part of that is on the execution of the players. You look at the stats from 2020, the Ravens, again, the key stat that everybody keeps bringing up is the Ravens ranked number one in rush offense and number 32 in pass offense. So you look at those two stats, very, very different. And Greg Roman has never been a great pass offense guy. His rushing offenses have been phenomenal, but his passing offenses just have not been there. So this gets into the next conversation where it's, all right, well, if Greg Roman isn't doing it, if he's not a guy who is good for the pass offense, but he's great for the run offense, then let's bring in somebody to help Greg Roman. Well, the Ravens have a pass game coordinator already, and that is David Culley. Now, Culley is very well liked within the organization. He's a very respected coach throughout the entire NFL. But look, the offense has to change one way or the other, both, as I mentioned, in execution and in play calling. And so I'll even add a third one in there. I'll even say personnel, because that's obviously one that we've talked about before, and that has to change as well. But I think that David Culley is the one that I would rather push out than Greg Roman. And the reason being is because the Ravens do need a young, innovative mind. And Culley has just not been it for this Baltimore Ravens team. Again, very highly respected, very well liked within the organization. But at some point, well liked in the organization is not going to win you a Super Bowl. It's going to make the team have a great culture, but the team isn't going to win anything. So you have to bring in somebody who can be well liked within the Ravens organization, but can also be that young, innovative mind. So with Roman, and again, getting back into the stats, look, execution-wise, the Ravens do have to be better. I mean, we can look to the postseason for the stats. Lamar Jackson completes 64.6% of his passes in the playoffs with 341 yards. The quarterbacks in the playoffs sometimes throw for that in a game. Lamar Jackson did it in two games. But the Ravens' offense just were not very efficient. They weren't very efficient in terms of running the football to an extent. I mean, earlier in the Tennessee game, we go to the first quarter, earlier in the second quarter, Baltimore's offense was not very efficient. The Ravens' offense as a whole averaged 5.8 yards per carry. J.K. Dobbins, who averaged 6 yards per carry in the regular season, averaged 4.5 in the playoffs. Gus Edwards, who averaged 5 yards a carry in the regular season, averaged 4.4 yards per carry in the playoffs. Now, Lamar Jackson averaged 6.3, and he had 6.8 yards per carry in the playoffs, so there was no drop-off there. But that was really all in the Tennessee game. So the issue is that the Ravens' offense is built to win in the regular season. But how can they make it so that it's built to win in the playoffs, too? Because after three straight disappointing seasons in the playoffs, and look, the game against the Chargers, sure, that was disappointing 2 years ago. But at this point, if there's a fourth letdown, if the offense is, again, pretty good in the regular season, the run offense is great, but the pass offense isn't, and the Ravens lose anywhere other than the AFC Championship game or the Super Bowl, that's something the Ravens cannot have. They have to make sweeping big changes there, because if the Ravens don't advance past the divisional round for the fourth year in a row, again, the Ravens have a great coaching staff. John Harbaugh, in my opinion, is a top 10 coach in this league. Greg Roman is a great offensive mind. But if you cannot produce the results with the current coaches and the current players you have, big sweeping changes are to be made, and they have to be made. And look, I'm not saying big sweeping changes include trading Lamar Jackson or getting rid of Lamar Jackson. But you have to bring in somebody who can make Lamar Jackson a better passer in the offseason. Because look, every quarterback in the offseason has room to grow. It's not just Lamar Jackson. Every quarterback, every player has room to grow. So get Lamar Jackson to somebody who can help improve him even more. Get him to a Jordan Palmer or a Quincy Avery. Those are the types of guys that Lamar Jackson needs right now. He needs to branch out, get to those guys. Get Lamar Jackson some help. Get him some personnel. Get him some wide receivers, some offensive linemen, some tight ends. The running backs are there. J.K. Dobbins and Gus Edwards are the guys, but just get him some guys to help him out. He only needs a few more. He just needs a few more. But again, if the Ravens can't advance past the divisional round for the fourth year in a row, the Ravens need to find somebody to help out Lamar Jackson even more, because they cannot set this young quarterback up for failure with the pass scheme where we see guys running the same route. We see guys running routes within 2 yards of each other and sitting down in the zone so one defensive back can cover them at the same time. Guys are running into each other on the field. Like, those are the types of things that aren't good. The Ravens need more creativity. We didn't see the creativity. We haven't seen it for two straight years now. You know, we were talking last offseason about, I really thought Greg Roman was going to add some more wrinkles to the playbook and kind of do some more things with Lamar Jackson and maybe some Hollywood Brown stuff. And I said right then and there, that offseason a year ago, well, I'm sure we'll see more of it in 2020. We did not see more of it in 2020. The Ravens were not very schematically advanced in terms of trick plays, in terms of reverses. And look, they ran them. John Harbaugh was not wrong. They ran the plays. But at the end of the day, they didn't run them enough. They have to make defenses stay on their toes, not do the same vanilla concepts, not be so predictable, get the play calls in right. So I do believe this Ravens coaching staff deserves another chance. They deserve another year to show that they can grow this team even further, because in 2020, the team did grow. They won in the playoffs. They went on that 5-game winning streak, and then that winning streak, I guess, extends to 6 in the playoffs. So a 6-game winning streak. When they were 6-5, they were down and out. They come back and they win. But the Ravens cannot get complacent with mediocre success. That is not the way to win a Super Bowl if you do the same thing over and over and over again. So this is a big offseason for this Ravens team. This is a big season coming up for this Ravens team, because if it's another failure in terms of not winning a Super Bowl, big changes could be coming, both with coaching and with personnel. We're going to head into our final break now, but when we return, we'll be getting into Don Martindale and his defensive scheme, as well as why he hasn't gotten some consideration for head coaching jobs yet. So stay tuned for that, and we will be right back. The NFL regular season is finished and the playoffs have begun. There's only one place that has you covered and one place we trust, betonline.ag. Sign up today for a free account at betonline.ag and use that promo code LOCKEDON for your 50% welcome bonus. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore. Get in on the action. Don't forget to use that promo code LOCKEDON to receive a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. And we return with our final segment of this Locked On Ravens Purple Friday edition episode. Kevin Ostreicher, your host, still talking with you here. And we've talked about the head coach, John Harbaugh. We've talked about the offensive coordinator and Greg Roman. So now let's round it out and talk about the defensive coordinator in Don Wink Martindale. Don Martindale is one of the best, if not the best, defensive coordinator in the entire league. In 2020, the Ravens offense allowed the second least points with 303. Only the Los Angeles Rams allowed less with 296. From a yards perspective, the Ravens allowed the 7th most yards by teams in the league in 2020. They allowed 5,276 yards. The Rams, again, that number one defense, 4,511. So, you know, those are two stats that a lot of teams look at when looking at head coaches. It's how good have you been in 2020, but also what have your defenses looked like earlier? Don Martindale has been a phenomenal coordinator, not just for 2020, but he was great in 2019, really ever since he took over for the Baltimore defensive coordinator Dean Pees, or at least former defensive coordinator Dean Pees. That has been Don Martindale's calling. He has had a great defense in each of the years he has been the leader. So why isn't he getting any head coaching considerations? People have brought up multiple things to me about why Don Martindale has not gotten those head coaching positions. One, the league is offensive now. This is an offensive league, and they don't necessarily need those defensive-minded coaches that might not be able to work with the offensive-minded quarterbacks, the young quarterbacks that come into the league. That could be one reason. Another reason is that Don Martindale doesn't look like your typical head coach, and this is one that kind of got me scratching my head a little bit, because in my opinion, I don't care what anybody looks like. If he's a good NFL coach, he's a good NFL coach. I don't care what he looks like at all. So for that to be kind of a thing, I don't know if that's necessarily it. Sure, Don Martindale doesn't necessarily dress, you know, like in a suit and tie or anything, but I don't think he needs to. You know, again, if the guy's a good NFL coach, I don't care what he looks like in any facet, he'll be on my staff. So that's a reason that's been brought up to me a couple times. I don't know a lot about that. I don't necessarily think that's a big, big factor. I think a lot of NFL teams probably share the same sentiments as me. But at the same time, I don't know. Maybe it's something in NFL circles I just don't know about. And if that is the case, I think that's kind of a dumb rule, to be frank. But at the same time, it benefits the Ravens. The Ravens love consistency with their coaches, and the Ravens have already lost a bunch of their defensive coaches this offseason. Joe Cullen accepted the defensive coordinator position for the Jacksonville Jaguars yesterday. Mike McDonald, the linebackers coach, left for Michigan to be their defensive coordinator. Jesse Minter, the defensive backs coach for this team, left to be the defensive coordinator at Vanderbilt. So Don Martindale is going to have to rebuild his staff a bit. And it's interesting. Again, if I was an NFL general manager, if I was trying to build a staff, I'd want someone like Don Martindale. Don Martindale is loved in the Ravens organization. He is loved in the Ravens organization. His defense loves him. There seems to be no issues with the defense in terms of on-field production. and off-field issues. I mean, look, Earl Thomas, that was something that was kind of spiraling out of control beforehand, and even when he arrived in Baltimore, it was kind of a weird signing. The vibe kind of seemed off, so, you know, that was a bad hand that Don Martindale was dealt in that regard, but there are so many nice things that can be said about Don Martindale and what he brings to this Ravens team. I mean, he brings that swagger, too. We see that picture of Don Martindale and his defense in that primetime game in 2019. He brings out the chain, and he's posing with his defense, and some of the offensive players come in there, too. Mark Ingram's in there. You know, that's what teamwork is. That's what camaraderie is. Those are the types of things that an NFL franchise will be lucky to have. And the Ravens luckily have that with a great head coach in John Harbaugh, who has kind of morphed himself into a player's coach over these last couple of years. And then we look at what Don Martindale is. And, you know, in Denver, he was the defensive coordinator there for a couple of years. And look, he did not have good defenses there. But he was given a chance by this Ravens staff, and he has capitalized on it. He interviewed with the New York Giants. The New York Giants showed interest last year before hiring Joe Judge to be their head coach. And I think that as we head into next offseason, I don't expect a very big drop-off from this Ravens team. I just think that for Baltimore, they've gotten lucky in this situation. It's kind of like the Chiefs and Eric Bieniemy, who, by the way, should be an NFL coach, and he should have been an NFL coach last season, an NFL head coach. An NFL head coach he should have been last season, so that's what I think about that situation. And for the Ravens, they've gotten lucky in that regard. Eric Bieniemy has been able to be that guru in the offensive staff room for the Kansas City Chiefs. He's been able to run that offense. And people will say, oh, is it Andy Reid? Is it Eric Bieniemy? Eric Bieniemy has a pretty good impact on that Kansas City offense. He should be a head coach somewhere. Don Martindale has a pretty big impact on that Ravens defense. He deserves to be a head coach somewhere. Now, it's not like John Harbaugh is calling the defensive plays or anything, or there's any discrepancy in that, but look, Don Martindale should be a head coach somewhere, and it's kind of shocking to me that he has not gotten any interviews, and it's kind of shocking to me that some young guys and some promising and deserving guys around the league, number one, I'll go back to Eric Bieniemy, have not gotten those opportunities yet, but there are only so many positions in the league, only so many promising coaching candidates. I think that Don Martindale's time will come. I think that he is going to be a very solid head coach when he gets that opportunity. We'll just have to wait and see when that opportunity actually comes about for him, but I'm thinking it's going to come around for him sooner rather than later. That's all that I have for you today. We're going to take a two-day break here on Locked On Ravens, but when we return, we'll be talking about more Ravens football, so stay tuned for that, and I will see you on Monday.